The status quo discourse says there is something fundamentally wrong with sex. We live in a world of conversations attempting to control the source human instinct, the power to procreate. Welcome to Sex and the Divine Design with your host, Muki Okon. It is the original divine design that ensures the continuation of life. Get ready for an enlightened discussion. Now, here is Muki Okon.
Welcome. Welcome back to a new episode of Sex and the Divine Design. This is Muki Okon, your orgasm's best friend. And you can go to my website, thepussytalks.com, to see about educational products and resources. That's www.thepussytalks.com. And today I'm going to have an extraordinary conversation with Sarah Shining Shield Woman, and we're going to be speaking about rites of passage. Now, what is rites of passage, first of all? Well, rites of passage are ceremonies and rituals that not only celebrate the individual and honor their growth, but also provide the essential context and energetic boost from one phase of life to the next. And as you'll see, it doesn't just apply to puberty rites of passage. So I want to welcome you, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
It's a pleasure.
And I know that you are an extraordinary pioneer because you've really embraced the full body of rites of passage ceremonies and practices in your family life. I know you've been married for 18 years, and you and your husband, you have two beautiful teenagers, and you've really utilized the whole slew of ceremonies that are possible for the whole span. So welcome.
Thank you very, very much. We're very lucky to have this as an opportunity for us and to be able to receive the teachings that we did at the time of life when we did as a young married couple. We're very, very lucky.
So I would love to for you to share with the listeners, like, where are you right now? And I know that you lead community gathering circles for spiritual awakening, that you really are an image maker in your community. So can you say a little bit about what you do usually?
Yes, so we offer monthly gatherings for our community for all walks of life, and in that we have created ceremonies that honor individuals and families in their movement in the different passages of life. So that can include different ceremonies that are often and almost always engage in nature. We live in the beautiful city of Chicago, and so we do embrace all four seasons. And we have children, we have teens, we have, of course, adults and our seniors, and we love them. And so we offer drumming and singing and sacred ceremonies that are inclusive for people for all walks of life. And we offer monthly ceremonies so that we can engage and be together as sacred human beings.
You truly are a gathering together woman there. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about some of the range of the ceremonial rites of passage you've experienced, because I know we were speaking a little earlier about how you actually did some special ceremonies before conception, and I'm sure that's a whole new concept for a lot of the listeners.
Yeah, you know, when we were first married, I was extremely hesitant to have children right away. I was middle-aged within our societal views, and I was very reluctant to birth something other than my own ideas out into the world. So I did a lot of soul-searching and work with rites of passage specialists and trainers to help me understand how to expand and go deeper within my womb space. And what was created and where I was led, I was able to work with myself to even work and be able to go beyond what I thought of as just having children. my beloved and I, we were able to be led through ceremonies where we did a dialogue, not only with each other, but also with this spirit, this entity that was in this spirit form before he and she came into this world, so that there were clear contracts and agreements laid out between not only as us as parents, but with this being that was not in substance form, so that we could make sure that the spirit knew what we were all about, and also with my beloved and I, that we could have clear agreements about how we were going to be or thought we could be as parents, and negotiating that really way before we got into any substance pieces and before I even became pregnant.
So you and your husband had a clear communication where you were making agreements about whether you were going to bring children into the world or not. Is that what you're...
Well, not only that, but it was a ceremony designed specifically where we made agreements with each other and called out to the spirit as a light attraction to let them know what we were willing to do as parents, and how we were, how we could be as parents. So this was a clear communication, and that we wanted to be parents. But it was it was done in a very sacred way, and led by a rites of passage specialist, so that we could send that signal, that smoke signal, and that ray of light out to the universe, so that spirit, which became my son, in a substance form, knew exactly what kind of parents he was coming into being with.
I think that's so wonderful for people to hear that, like how consciously you began that creation in the beginning. I think that's extraordinary for people to know. And so when you did become pregnant then with your first child, can you share any of the special things that you experienced then? Because often I know the focus is all on the baby coming and baby showers, but there are some other options related to the mother's well-being too when you're pregnant.
Oh gosh. Yeah, you know, it was when I first learned I was pregnant, and actually even before that, we had created a mesa where...
Can you say what a mesa is? Because I'm sure that's a new term for a lot of people.
And I'm hoping this is okay to share this piece, mm-hmm. but it was a beautiful mesa, which is a container space where there were sacred items placed on the mesa, honoring all of the powers of the four directions, and honoring the sacred as above and so below. And basically what we did is that we imagined all the things, all the brilliance and all the things that my son and my daughter could be, because this we had two separate mesas for each child. And what happens is that you put prayers into this mesa so that you can talk to the spirit and talk to this entity to be on what your hopes and dreams and aspirations and all the things that you hope for the child. And so after the so this was in sequence from the imagination of becoming a parent, doing the ceremony with that, and then making the mesa where we had a special baby blanket, and all of these things my children still have to date. They still have their special mesa, and what it does is it shows their connection to all of their ancestors. There's ancestor pieces on it, little things from my family, my husband's family, and it was a basically a place where we could, both my husband and I, share and pray. And when I became pregnant, what we did is we fed into that mesa each day a little bit of corn pajos, which is abundance and fertility, and we prayed, and it became the more pregnant I became, the more embodied this became real to us, not only because we felt I felt the substance of the child within me, but because you could really feel it ground in. So I hope that answers some of the ceremonies that we did.
And now I do remember that I have attended a special gathering of women for a young woman who was like 8 months pregnant, and it was a celebration for her and a sharing from each woman who was present about the gift of birthing. And did you have something like that too?
Do you know what? I didn't in that format. Well, what we did is the sisters, we got together and we had, it was a sharing circle, and it wasn't so much really a, I guess I did, I just never thought of it like that. What we, because we always met in community, we did gather together and we did share birthing stories, and not in a, not in a, you know, oftentimes women remember or share sometimes the pain of the birth, but this was the beauty piece of the beauty of being a mother and all of the things that we enjoy as mothers. And it was a very relaxing an honoring space for me, because I could feel their love and the embodiment of motherhood, so that as I got closer to actually birthing my children, especially my first child, it helped me to overcome the nervousness that I was feeling as I became bigger and bigger. And the one thing that I want to share with everyone was that I had there was a beautiful, beautiful blanket that I painted based on a Navajo sand painting, and it was a fantastic way of putting my hopes and dreams and a place that each of my children could go to and find comfort in. And to this day, the leather blanket hangs over my son's headboard. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's like it's a place where he's always deeply, deeply connected with.
Beautiful. And I think that's so important for that circle of women to tell their power stories of birthing, because it is our peak moment, I have to say, myself, having had an awesome birth experience myself. So I think a lot of people are hungry to know, you know, like, what can people do? But I know also that part of the rites of passage, a very, very key part, are all of the puberty rites of passage. So I know your beautiful young man and your beautiful young women have started doing the puberty rites of passage. Could you share a little bit about that experience and what the impact has been in your family?
Yeah, well, first of all, once the there's a ceremony that we have the privilege of doing where the children have a naming ceremony, and that we are allowed, have the privilege of attending a ceremony for 3.5 days where the child and I dance to the Tree of Life. And it's an outdoor ceremony, and it's a ceremony that you can do from 0 to 9 months. And I danced this ceremony with my son when he was 8.5 months. So So wow. He just barely got through that wind, you know what I'm saying? But his higher self, he was there, and both spiritually and physically, and that was an incredible experience where I had two sisters that were my stands behind that were on each side of me. So for 3.5 days, we were able to dream and dance and connect, and he could connect as a sacred human being to the Tree of Life. So that was his first big ceremony.
That's a huge one.
My daughter was, we were able to have the same ceremony for my daughter as well. And then the other ceremonies we had, I'm going to back it up, because right after their birth, there's the ability that we can, that we are able to plant their umbilical cord, the cut cord, a piece of it,
mm-hmm.
and plant it. It's a tree ceremony, a soul vine tree ceremony. And so what happens is that you take that home, and you have already had a hole dug for the tree and acquired the tree, and then you plant the child's umbilical cord in the ground, and then the sacred tree grows out of it and above it. So it's that child's connection to this tree. It basically becomes their tree because it has their elements in it. So that's another ceremony that that we did as a family. And all of these things that I'm describing, it wasn't just me. It was our whole family making a ceremonial decision of how we engage in life and how we were honoring each other as sacred human beings. So that sort of covered like the 0 to 3 mm-hmm. piece of their life.
So what I'm hearing, Sarah, is that that at every new step or newness as a baby, that there was something that was created that added depth and some experience that included the child, but also the whole family unit too.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was done that was separate from initially the three of us,
mm-hmm.
and then the four of us, and each family member participated in various ways, and but we all made decisions as a group. And it was a way, what's incredible about this, about the rites of passage ceremonies, is that it honors the human being in their different passages of life and how they shine and honor. And as parents, it helps us to acknowledge where they really are in their different phases of life. So the next ceremony that we did was the Born Two ceremony, and what that is an honoring of the mother and of her lineage. And so, you know, we as a family gathered in a circle, and I shared stories of my lineage, and family members from my side of the family shared stories specific to each child, so that they could feel the richness of the lineage of the mother's side of the family. And then and of course all of that is involved in celebrating the brilliance of the child. And then the next ceremony we did was the a Born Four ceremony, where you celebrate the father's lineage and the father's stories of his lineage, and again the child is honored. And so those were very critical pieces developmentally, because as the child, now both children, they're teenagers, we were able to honor them and help them you know, when they're little, they need a lot of care and a lot of support just to become autonomous. And as they move into being teenagers, it's a way of celebrating their autonomy so that they grow into healthy, incredible, brilliant adults. As parents, that's our job. That's what I've always felt inspired, so that they could be autonomous, making their own decisions about how they want to step out in life. And should I speak to their puberty?
Well, just
rites of passage?
Well, just one moment before we go to the puberty rites of passage. So, like the whole piece of even knowing what your father's lineage is and your mother's lineage just adds so much dimension to, you know, a child's personality and just knowing what their natural talents and skills are and where they come from. And I know in the Maori tradition that is a spiritual practice to be able to speak your lineage like way back even to the Pleiades. So it's a beautiful thing for a family to just simply create for themselves. It's an easy thing to do.
It, you know what? It really was beautiful and very empowering for each child. And it actually really helped them to select what was their different paths, spiritual paths, which was not necessarily mine. And I celebrate them and their choices and then their autonomy. And I, you know, I am very, very grateful to being able to be guided by and even having the rites of passage ceremonies, so that as a sacred human, I could move and be more of who I am. And I could, you know, I always, it helped me to understand my past, because I didn't know this wasn't created for me. When I realized this was part of the ceremonial choices, then I found out more about who I was. And so it was incredibly empowering and fun, because my husband and I, we were both able to reach back and discover more of who we are through our lineage.
Beautiful. And what I'm reminded of right now is that I was in some kind of ceremony a couple of years ago, and we had to like visualize going back through our mother's lineage. And that was relatively easy for me to do, but I realized that for my father, I actually had no knowledge of my dad's lineage, except, you know, the country that he came from. But I didn't know the name of his dad or any of the men in that stream. So it's a very powerful thing to be able to have that, to know that.
Yeah, and then what we did is we created a keepsake, a memento, like a little book for each child, so they can have, and when we are no longer of substance, that they can have a reference and they have some things to actually go back to look at and know, because it was something that I had to find and dig, you know what I'm saying, to get, because it wasn't something that was created for me.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. And before going to the puberty part, which I think we'll get into after the break that's coming up, but how did the children receive all that? Did they enjoy that?
You know what? I can say that it was different for each child.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was they were, at first they didn't quite know what was going on, and then once each family member told stories of each of their favorite memories of them as a child, then we all got into it. But initially it was like, what?
My parents weird, or what are they?
What are you doing? Why is everyone here? And, you know, there's a little bit of that. But once we got going, and they realized it was a celebration of them. They were all over it.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I want the listeners to know how to get in contact with you before we go to our break. So if you want to find out what is available through Sarah Shining Shield Woman, you can, the best way to connect with her is to email her, and that's at horsesong2@aol.com, and I'm going to spell that horsesong, and then the number 2@aol.com. And so also I wanted to let you know, if you go to my website, www.thepussytalks.com, you'll see that I urgently need an administrative assistant with organizational prowess. And I also have a list there of how else you can support the vision of enhancing sexual well-being for humanity and of providing excellent multimedia educational resources for people all over the world, for all of humanity, essentially for the production of peace. So when we are at peace with our sexuality, with our sexual energy, and we are aware of all of the choices, and that's part of what this conversation is about, educating and knowing our choices, that's when we can have our inner peace that reflects in the world. The other thing that I am seeking right now, you know, this show has over 71,000 listeners in a very, very short time. So I'm also looking for sponsor or sponsors. So you can email me at info@thepussytalks.com if you would like to have a conversation with me about that. So that's info@thepussytalks.com. So you're listening to Mukhi Okan, your orgasm's best friend, and I'm with my guest, Sarah, Shining Shield Woman, and we've been speaking about the power of rites of passage, and we'll be coming back after the break with a lot more. Thank you.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now for your programs and services. Begin your journey. Enrich your world and your sexual well-being. It's the shortcut to success, sexual energy mastery, and beyond. Do it now. Mukhi is waiting for you. And if you want sexual well-being for humanity too, you are invited to contribute your unique skills to this private nonprofit foundation. We need volunteers and interns for research, multimedia, admin, and more. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now. Humanity needs you.
Is the life you're currently living enough for you? Is it the life you once dreamt? What if you could change what's not working for you in the blink of an eye? Listen for The Bliss Edition, featuring Dr. Shelley Childers. We'll explore how your body and your life is created from everything that you think and say about it, including aging, disease, illnesses, pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What would it be like to live a life of ease, joy, and glory? The Bliss Edition is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live talk radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Sex and the Divine Design with Mukhi Okan. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@thepussytalks.com. Now, back to Sex and the Divine Design.
Welcome back to our second half of our program today. This is Muki Okan, your orgasm's best friend in Sex and the Divine Design. And my guest is Sarah, Shining Shield Woman. And we're speaking about the power of rites of passage. So before the break, Sarah was sharing about some of the amazing steps that she's brought into her family life with her two children before conception, after birthing, and some of the things that they've done learning about their parents' lineage and ancestors. So, Sarah, I know your teens have started doing rites of passage for puberty. Can you share a little bit about what's happening with that, perhaps with your son, first of all?
Yeah, my son, who's a couple years older, he just completed his, what we refer to as the first seed ceremony. And it's a brotherhood ceremony where he is honored for how to place healthy seeds into the womb space of Grandmother Earth. So it's where the brothers, adult men that are mature men, honor him in a ceremony by telling stories and sharing with him as a man and sharing the healthy pieces of how to seed his imagination, and not to mention just how to properly seed into the world. And so it's an incredibly empowering ceremony. And Muki, I can't even tell you how different he was after that ceremony. And he held himself differently. He is already a very tall young man, but he was incredibly empowered with this. And the men that were in that circle, he will never forget. And he knows that he can count on them and that he can reach out to them with questions about sexuality and about who he is with his strength and prowess in the world. It was very, very impactful. And so the next ceremonial...
Well, before you go on to the next ceremony, so let's talk a little bit about what you mean and what we're talking about when we say seed, because that's a new term, I think, also for people. So
specifically, we're talking about sperm. And when we say seed, we're talking about how he practices a healthy sexual relations with himself, and how to properly and in a powerful way place his sperm so that he is empowered, and the wombs that he places his seed in, that it is done in a thoughtful, mindful way, and that so that there is hopefully not a pregnancy without the conscious assemblage piece here, in a way that he's mindful to have safe sex and to have empowering sex. So it's the brothers and the mature men talk about, as I understand it, because I wasn't in that sweat, it was just for men, and how he can step this out in the world in a good way.
Excellent. I think that's important for the listeners to hear. And the other aspect I'd like to add to that, because my son has also done that ceremony, even though he's 32 years old now, that it was also about his creativity or his spark. What is it that he is like really passionate about in his world, not because someone says he should do X, Y, Z, but what was his like natural curiosity and things that he was interested in was also part of seeding and sparking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so what's it? And so you said there was another ceremony?
Yeah, a ceremony that he'll be doing in the fall is a vision quest ceremony where he will, with being properly monitored, but he will, with a man, a very dear friend of mine, a rites of passage specialist, will guide him so that he can receive his first vision and see how that will guide him through the year and through his life. So that is an opportunity that he will get in the fall before it gets too cold here. Mm-hmm. And he's excited about that, very excited. In fact, as soon as a couple of days after we finished the first seed ceremony, then he asked Mom, when can I do my vision quest ceremony? So this is all a natural flow for him and within our family, because I always try to allow my children to know that this is offered, or if he hears about it from another rites of passage specialist, then they come to me and they say they want it, and I figure it's my job as a parent to be able to offer that to them, to make the proper arrangements so that they're safe, but in a safe ceremonial environment, and then they can go for it for their connection with spirit.
And how old is your son now?
15.
Oh, he's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how old my son was when mm-hmm. he chose to do those ceremonies, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because he was not very sure about it when he heard about it, first of all, but then when some teenagers who'd done those ceremonies came and shared in a little teen community group he was in, that's when he came running to me and he said, Mom, I'm going to do that. And he still talks about how powerful it was. You know, he's a 32-year-old man. He has a family of his own. He has his own son now. And he says that that was a turning point. So it seems that when young people get proper education about what's happening in that change, when they're going from young boy, young girl, to young man, young woman, makes all of the difference.
It absolutely does make, I think, all the difference in the world, because you have a sense you're being supported by the brotherhood or sisterhood community, and you can reach out to someone other than your parents, excuse me, if the child or the young adult wants to. They can ask questions about and feel safe about asking questions, and that there's nothing to be embarrassed about for within their own sexuality and in how they want to engage in the world. How does he want to put forth and his passion and creativity, and how does he want to connect with other people with that? So it was a really, really great experience for him.
And I know that the topic of dating and relating to women is definitely part of the ceremonies for the young men, too, so they can get to ask all of the questions about that. I've actually sat in on some of the circles where the young men going through those ceremonies can ask women other than their mums all kinds of questions. And the thing that really struck me was their innocence. And I recall one young man saying he was going out on a date with a young woman and she already wanted to start kissing and he just wasn't ready for that. And like, what do you do? And because often we have a different impression of young teenage men.
You know, absolutely. You know, I just found that after the ceremony that he was really relaxed and in his own skin. And it was a way that he clearly felt honored and was more open and forthcoming just about everything. So and was clear when he didn't want to do something. He just said, you know, Mom, I just don't want to do that. And there wasn't any, and it was beautiful. It was really beautiful, and I'm really, you know, I like I said, I think at the very beginning of the program, I feel very privileged, and I feel very lucky to have these teachings exposed to me as a young married couple, and just trying something new and trying something different and reaching out so that I could become a better parent, because in doing so, I parent myself better and I do better self-care because I honor these different phases of life.
And now, what about your daughter? Has she started doing some of the puberty rites of passage?
Yes, we just completed her, what we refer to as her first blood ceremony, and it was a beautiful experience where a group of sisters were able to share a story about where they are within their cycle. And the beauty of our blood, and honoring her, and it was actually her with the group of young women, and so she was able to demystify, and it was something where she was honored, and women were honored for the beauty of the womb space. And not anything to be ashamed of or to hide. And it was very powerful for the young women. And I have to say, it was an incredible experience for the women, in the older women in the circle, to be able to share these and listen to all the stories. Because it wasn't anything that I certainly never was lucky enough to have anyone share with me as a young lady the beauty of being a woman and what that means and how powerful it is. So she was very impacted, and again, she came out of that ceremony holding herself up a little higher and feeling the goddess beauty within her.
Beautiful. And how old is your daughter?
She's 13.
13. Perfect. Wonderful age to do that. So what do you think is next for your teenagers?
Well, I shared with you about my son. Mm-hmm. And so he will be doing that. And then, you know, for Jessica, for my daughter, she will be making choices on whether she wants to do her her vision quest ceremony, and again, I always allow them to offer the ceremonies and then let them make choices about how they want to walk this out in their life.
Excellent. And now, what difference has that made for you and your husband being able to provide this for your teenagers?
You know what? I can tell you that it's been an incredible healing for each of us. And I know that my background is one that was that didn't offer any of these teachings, and I had to figure things out on my own. And in many ways, not really understanding, certainly on these passages and how important as a child and as a teenager what this meant. So there was an incredible healing that I felt. In my husband's tradition, he did experience some rites of passage. So there was honoring in his upbringing, but none in mine. So for me, it was, in a lot of ways, healing a broken circle that I was able to reclaim and understand more of my lineage and where I came from and decisions that my grandmother's grandfathers made, and how to walk it out in a more beautiful way and be an educated parent. and it helped me to really understand the different steps of parenting and the phases that they were moving into, and when to start stop being so enabling and to be empowering for them and to help foster their autonomy, because they're very, it's very each child and young adult, it's different, but it is indeed very, it's easy to see when they want the autonomy, and sometimes as parents, you don't necessarily always want to give up the things as that they do as a child, you know, because you sometimes you fall into this this pattern of treating them like a child when they're really absolutely an adult. And so the rites of passage help me as a parent too, and my husband, to be able to honor them as adults so that we could repattern as a family, so that we could move into a healthy place in supporting their self-growth and development. And to, you know, in some ways you feel the loss that they're no longer a child, but that's part of life, and to not stay in patterns that no longer serve and feed us.
I think that's such a key element, because you don't typically hear parents speaking or supporting autonomy, and probably most parents have never even used that word in relationship to the young people living in their home. So that is definitely a key element that you just expressed about honoring their individuality, their uniqueness, and in a way, it's like setting them free to be who they are, not who we who we think they should be.
Absolutely. It, you know, it really, Mookie, I don't believe it works any other way. When you celebrate the another individual's autonomy and their free will, then they can, then it is easier for the entire family. You may have differences of opinion, but that's when you pull out a talking stick and you hear the, you make new agreements and new contracts, and you are able to work through it. But when we, as parents, when we try to impose our rules and regulations, it just does not work. And it, and so you just renegotiate. And because they have a platform of these ceremonies that, quite frankly, every parent can get these ceremonies from these rites of passage specialists, that they can be guided and they can go back and reclaim these pieces. You know, it's my understanding, even as they get a little older, up until a certain age out of adulthood, that they can reclaim several of these. And in reclaiming that, you set a platform of respect, mutual agreements, and you have a really a good understanding of who this individual, who this young man, young woman is in the world, and they feel the power of who they are in the world, which is what parenting is all about.
Well, I think you and your husband are extraordinary pioneers and very powerful image makers for your whole community, because I know a lot of people are like drawn to coming to the community gatherings that you have. And I think it's also important for the listeners to know that besides all of these measures, you know, of different stages in our development as young people, that these can continue on through different maturational stages and development as we become elders. So I know there's beautiful possibilities for when you're 45 and when you're 54, and there's an extraordinary community honoring celebration when you are 60 years old. And I've had the blessing to be, to participate in some of those. And, you know, we don't really acknowledge the wisdom and power that men and women, you know, 60 is still a spring chicken in my eyes, I gotta say.
It absolutely is a spring chicken.
Spring chicken. but to realize that we are surrounded by men and women 60 years and over who've just had extraordinary life experiences. And it's really when you get to that age where you start to appreciate the wisdom that you have to share with others.
Do you know what's very funny, Mookie? Some of the most bright, attractive, most energetic people I know are over 60.
Yeah, I have to agree with that too. Yeah. Even in like the tone of their voice and their enthusiasm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So I know that we don't have very much longer together, but I really want the listeners to know how to contact you, because this is a woman who brings a whole new level of wisdom and experience to, I'm just going to call it, power parenting. And with such an extraordinary emphasis on communication that makes all of the difference. So if you want to reach Sarah Shining Shield Woman, her email address is horsesong2@aol.com. That's horsesong, the number 2@aol.com. And if you're lucky enough to be in the Chicago area, you just better contact her and let her know what kind of gatherings that she has coming up in the future. I know that Sarah has a huge, wide audience in age range, you know, from young people to people who are elders. And so I'm sure that you're getting the heart space and the commitment that Sarah has for her community and beyond. And that her teenagers are going to be extraordinary people out there giving their gift to humanity too. So we just got a couple more minutes to closing. So I want to remind you all that you can listen to this interview anytime through iTunes, or you can download it as a free MP3 file. We want you to share this with all of your friends. Please share it with all of your friends. And then I just want to remind you, I am always looking for people who want to contribute to enhancing sexual well-being on the planet. If you go to my website, www.thepussytalks.com, you can see all of the ways that you can participate, whether it's through multimedia production. I mean, I have a big dream here that is not just focused on one town, one country, you know, it's for humanity. And the other thing is, you know, it also shows all of the different programs that are available, and I'm definitely going to put some links for, you know, rites of passage possibilities also on thepussytalks.com. So, Sarah, I think this has been a great, great conversation. And I know you're an exceptionally busy, professional, dedicated businesswoman, as well as an extraordinary mother. So I think the listeners are very blessed to have heard this conversation.
Well, it's it's really a privilege to share it. And I just encourage all of anyone who's thinking about parenting and anyone who's interested in the rites of passage for their children or as individuals, that the information is out there. And, do it for yourself. Give yourself the gift and your family the gift of holding the space for that.
Thank you, Sarah. And I want to finish with this little quote. And this is from Karen Krause, who is one of the rites of passage ceremonialists. And Karen says, "We must honor the sacredness of our children, for they are the future, and ensure that nothing shall be done to harm them. We must recognize that it's also our duty to make the rites of passage available. One of the keys at any level of rites of passage, including and beyond adolescence, is knowing the difference between freedom and license. Freedom means to make life choices and to be responsible. License means acting at the expense of others, regardless of consequences. An integral part of rites of passage is the understanding of the interconnectedness of all things." Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Sarah. And I look forward to sharing with you again. Thank you, Sarah.
You're very, very welcome. I'm very happy.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please join Mookie Okon for another edition of Sex and the Divine Design next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We'll see you here next week.